Before we get started, I'd like to take this opportunity to send birthday wishes to an amazing woman who is dear to all of our hearts.
Happy birthday, dear Melania. Happy birthday.
No, I'm fucking kidding. It is D Knight from the Part of the Insurrection podcast coming to you from Nashville, Tennessee. But yes, of course, it actually was Melania's birthday. She's not getting the ideal present, I would imagine. And I'm sure you're wondering, if it's her birthday, where might her husband be?
Thank you very much, everybody. Appreciate it. I want to start by wishing my wife, Melania, a very happy birthday. Be nice to be with her, but I'm at a courthouse for a rig trial. It's a rig trial. Terrible. But we're doing very well in this rig trial. Everybody knows it. Yes.
Man, stuck in court on your girl's birthday, that is unfortunate. But maybe if you hadn't been getting spanked by Stormy Daniels, you wouldn't be in court and you could spend the birthday with the missus. And in case you're wondering how much she believes him when he says it never happened, take note of the fact that she hasn't attended a single day of his trial. Any of his trials, for that matter. speaking of which, where are the rest of his kids? I guess that's not super important, but let's hear more from Donald Trump about how he's handling his day in court, missing his missus.
So we have another day of court in a freezing courthouse. It's very cold in there, for on purpose, I believe. They don't seem to be able to get the temperature up. It shouldn't be that complicated, but we have a freezing courthouse, and that's fine. That's just fine. Let them keep handing it out. There's a rigged trial. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you. I'm not going to jail, Mr. Trump. You think there's going to be a cold to make you uncomfortable?
Just wait.
Is it really that cold in there? Or is he just thinking about his bedroom where it's gotten cold and lonely here recently? Regardless, there's no reason for him to be railing against the cold courtroom constantly. Like, bro, have you ever heard of dressing in layers? That is an option. Or maybe you're just getting old and you need to go get your levels checked. That's also a possibility. And I don't know about you all, but when it's cold, I personally have a hard time going to sleep. It's like really uncomfortable when it's really cold. But when it's warm, that puts me right out. But clearly the cold is no obstacle to Donald Trump catching some Z's. And well, considering the type of women he was sleeping with no condom, it's surprising that he's not caught more than Z's.
I also have another source who's inside the courtroom who asked that I not name them specifically. But this source had a very interesting take of what was going on in the courtroom, and it confirmed all of the other reporting that I've just read for you. Let me take a look, and just so I want to make sure I get this absolutely 100% accurate right here as to what was going on in the courtroom. They said that Trump looked to actually be in close to deep REM sleep, that his lids are heavy, oftentimes look like he's about to fall asleep, but then he's taking full-on bona fide naps, possibly REM sleep taking place.
While it's clearly past Don Snorleone's jail time, there were quite a few stunning revelations from the Trump trial this week. For instance, a media outlet conspiring to suppress and kill negative stories about Donald Trump while pushing and promoting negative stories about his opponent. And speaking of Trump's opponent in the 2024 election, I'm sure you're probably wondering, I wonder what Joe Biden's up to. He's definitely not sleeping in court. He actually instead did a live interview with the infamous radio host Howard Stern.
When Obama had his time to appoint a Supreme Court justice, he was going to appoint Garland. These maniacs in the Senate said, no way, not interested. And now we've got a Supreme Court that's nuts.
Well, it's a really extremely conservative court, maybe the most conservative court in modern history. And when they struck down Roe v. Wade, saying that it was not constitutionally, federal constitutionally guaranteed, it was a state issue. States could make those judgments. And one of the justices, Clarence Thomas, said, it's not that women don't have a choice. They can, in fact, change it, at a state level, but we'll see if they have any power.
Most conservative Supreme Court ever. Dude, they just got finished arguing in support of the idea of granting immunity to presidents even for ordering the assassination of their own political opponents. What if their political opponent is the Supreme Court? That ain't conservatism. That is insanity. They are willing to sign their own death warrants in order to bail Trump out. It's forking bananas. Let's play the next clip.
Can I tell you a fantasy I had? If you, sure. I don't know if you're going to debate your opponent.
I am somewhere. I don't know when. Yeah. I'm happy to debate him.
This is how I would handle it. Tell me if I'm nuts. Well, I am nuts. But tell me if this is accurate. I would stand there on stage with Trump and I would repeat over and over again, excuse me, please find me 11,000 votes so that I can win the election. I would just repeat that over and over again. And then I'd say to the audience, what are we debating? A man picked up the phone and wanted to say, fake the election, give me 11,000 votes. I don't know how any American who loves this country, that's the end of the debate. You don't get to run if you're going to fix an election.
On January 6th, when they were storming the Capitol.
And a police officer died.
Yeah, and he would say nothing. He was sitting in that office off the that dining area off the Oval Office for 3 hours and said nothing.
Well, that's not completely true. Actually, Trump was saying a lot of things. He was calling conservative members of Congress and asking them to do everything in their power to steal the election. And he also sent out a tweet saying that Mike Pence didn't have the courage to do what should be done to overturn the 2020 election. And that's when the mob tried to hang him. But let's play the next clip.
I was supposed to make a speech on the economy that day. Instead, I made a speech from I was in Delaware on that issue. Because I was elected president, but I wasn't sworn in yet. I was derelict. It was almost criminal. He did nothing. He just sat there and watched what was happening. Not a single. And now he wants to call. He calls them patriots and victims. And I mean, and says he's going to pardon them all if he's reelected.
Side note, our podcast is called Pardon the Insurrection. It's supposed to be tongue in cheek. If you're familiar with the long running ESPN show, Pardon the Interruption, it's kind of a play on that. It's supposed to be taken ironically. Trump is literally talking about pardoning the insurrectionists. But I mean, I guess I'm glad we beat them to the title at least. Like, I'm sure they were eventually going to come up with the idea. Like, I can only imagine what it must be like being a MAGA supporter and you're scrolling through your podcast and you're like, oh, pardon the insurrection. I want to pardon the insurrectionists. Man, are they in for a surprise when they press play on that bad boy. But let's get to the next clip.
How do some of the guys that you served in the Senate with, I'm talking about Republicans, how do they not, how are they going along with this?
Well, I don't think, look, this is not your father's Republican Party.
No, it isn't.
This is, you know, I had a lot of Republicans, including the old segregationists that I served with, who at least you could talk to, at least on matters relating to, they were totally wrong on civil rights. But the fact is that they understood there's a need for a consensus to run this country. And I've had, and I gave my word, I'd never say their names, and I never will. In the last 3 years, I've had seven sitting Republican senators, well, two are gone now, seven sitting Republican senators call me to tell me, Joe, I agree with you, but I just can't do it. He'll get me.
He's going to get them. Like, is he threatening their lives? Just these people. Look, Republicans in the Senate had the opportunity to be rid of this dude in 2021, right after the coup, where they had the opportunity, if just a handful more of them had stepped up and convicted him in his impeachment trial, he would be out of their hair. But now here they are being held hostage by a man that they're afraid to speak out against because of whatever consequences they imagine might happen. Like, is he threatening the Supreme Court too? Well, guys, like, maybe you shouldn't give him immunity, because if he comes after you, at least he'll go to jail for it. My God, with these people. Let's get to the next clip.
That's what I was going to ask you. Do you get these calls in secret where guys go, listen, I can't say it publicly, but I'm for you and I'm going to vote for you. I'm a Republican, but screw it. I can't vote for this guy because he's talking about ending the democracy.
Well, they're not saying they're going to vote for me. They're saying I agree with you. Yeah.
And do you say to them, you coward? Why don't you say something publicly? Where's Jeb Bush? Where's George Bush? Where are these guys? Why don't they say, hey, I'm interested in saving the democracy for our grandchildren?
Well, I don't think the election's over yet on that score.
What do you think's going to happen? I can't imagine you're going to lose, but.
Well, look, he's promised if he doesn't win, there's going to be a bloodbath.
Can you imagine?
Things like that. Here's what bothers me most. We have a fundamentally different value set. For example, when he was in Paris, he wouldn't go to that gravesite and said they're losers, these men and women who were killed in battle defending America. Losers and I just, I'm glad I wasn't there because I think I would have, my son's in one of those graves, in one of the graves back here, not there. And the idea that they're losers and suckers.
And McCain's a loser. He said McCain's a loser.
Well, McCain's a loser.
Can you imagine?
When John McCain got out of prison and was released, he came work for me. He was on a Senate liaison officer. We traveled over 100,000 miles together. And he was like an assistant because he worked for the, he was.
It's a fabulous man. I got to meet him before he died.
No, he's a straight up guy, man. And
yeah.
Tough as hell. And, but I find I can't fathom a president of the United States of America saying that the folks who died defending this country were suckers and losers.
For the record, President Biden was about to say that if he had been there, he would have beat Trump's orange ass. And here's a clip of President Biden speaking about his son, Beau, who served in the military.
Here you were, a U.S. senator, and you know the song by Creedence Clearwater, I'm Not a Fortunate Son. Your son, here's the son of a senator, joins the military and was in Iraq.
Well, look, Beau, my son Beau should be sitting here instead of me. He was more capable than I am. And he was the attorney general of the state of Delaware. And one day I came home. He came over to the house. He was living in Delaware. And he said, Dad, what are you doing on Friday? I said, what do you need? He said, I need you to pin my bars on me. I said, pin your bars on you? What the hell are you talking about? He said, I joined the National Guard. And facetiously said, somebody's got to do this anyway.
Were you in shock that he joined the National Guard?
No, I wasn't in shock. It didn't surprise me. He had to give up the attorney general's job. Because you either have to work for the president or for the state.
So he was attorney general at that point.
He was attorney general, turned it back over to a Republican who had been there before.
Wow.
And went for a year. The problem was he lived next to one of those burn pits. He came back with a Bronze Star. He came back with a service medal. But he also came back with stage 4 glioblastoma. The brain injuries out of Iraq are extreme. Like they were the people in 9/11, all those firefighters, because of the toxic fumes.
You're convinced that the reason he got brain cancer is...
Oh, I know it. It's been determined, yeah. And a lot of them did. A lot of them.
Did he call you and say, Dad, I've gotten a horrible diagnosis?
He came. He had to come home, and it just kept getting worse, and that's when he realized they did the analysis. And then he was in Walter Reed for a long time, and... But I wrote a book called Promise Me, Dad. He knew his time was up, and he one night we're having a dinner at our home before he was incapacitated, hospitalized, and he said, Dad, can we talk? And I said, sure. And he said, look at me, Dad. Promise me, Dad. Promise me, Dad, that you'll not leave public life. I know when I go, You'll want to quit. You'll want to quit. And he looked at me and said, Dad, give me your word as a Biden. Give me your word.
Wow.
Look at me. I give my word on the health of my family. And he said, promise me, Dad, you won't step back. And I made the promise. And before he passed away, last thing he said before he passed away, I mean, literally, we were in the hospital, but Hunt and I with him, lying in bed with him. He looked at me and said, I'm not scared, Dad. It's okay. I'm not scared. It's okay. He was gone within. Anyway.
Wow.
Say what you want about President Biden, but I can tell you this one thing for sure. That man cares. He's experienced some extraordinarily traumatic loss over the course of his life, and that shaped him into a president who cares, who's compassionate, who's considerate, and who's empathetic. Take the pandemic, for instance. You know, something that's touched all of our lives to some degree or another, and cost, you know, 2 million American lives. President Biden having lost his son to a disease, I think that made him right for this job, as his predecessor left him with no pandemic response plan, and no vaccine rollout, no PPE, nothing. President Biden got into office and made that his first priority. He got that up and running, got the vaccines rolled out, saved numerous American lives. And, you know, there are multiple foreign wars going on at this point. And despite whatever you may think about the specifics of his policies, I can tell you, and as you've seen from that video, there's no one more acquainted with the cost of war when it comes to human lives. And just keep that in mind. And also, like, just for comparison's sake, like, you see how much President Biden still thinks of his son. You remember when Trump's brother died mysteriously in the middle of the pandemic? Oh, that's right. You ain't never heard Trump mention his ass again, have you? No, you have not. Oh, what about Trump's ex-wife? That's right. They buried her on the par five at his golf course. Someone needs to go get out there and mow her grave. Like, just for comparison's sake, like, Biden is one of the most caring and human, caring and empathetic human beings. And I'm glad to have him as president. And you can give me a follow on my personal podcast, Pardon the Insurrection, available everywhere that podcasts are found.